Еще раз доброе утро всем, и
I want to say good morning to all the churches, our virtual churches that watch us over the internet, our brothers and sisters, even though we don't see you here, but we know that you're here, so that's why we feel you, we know that you're here, we love you, and we're very thankful that you are with us and that we have you, and today...
We'll
share a very interesting topic. At least for me, it is very interesting. For a couple of months, I was thinking about it and thinking, and maybe I was lacking enough revelations for the scripture, but finally, I've received it. I'm very happy to share this with you. Today will be more like teaching, I guess.
You're dressed in a flowery dress and you're playing on teaching.
But you know what? When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, even children start to speak such things that you're shocked yourself. How does he know it? Remember Jesus when he was 12 years old? Well, when everybody was shocked? All these ministers that were, you know, working or serving in the temple, and Jesus comes and showed them all. This is why I believe that the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or how old you are, if you're asking, he will reveal to you. So, the last time the Holy Spirit has started speaking to me through the Word, I receive answers through the Word. It's this season, through the Word. And today, we'll go into the book of Revelation. I've never spoken from this book because for me, it was like a hidden mystery. There's so many things that are so complex, and something, symbols and numbers and all these things. And you know, I've noticed that, two of the most misunderstood books in Christianity, Songs of Solomon and the Book of Revelation. We understand all these books, the prophets, and all the Gospels, but for some reason these two books, we don't really preach on them or talk on them because it's like covered somehow by this fog and we don't see it. And I see that the biggest bombs are invested in these two books, and the devil is afraid for, he's fearful for the Christians to receive the true meaning of these books, the revelations that are in there, because then they will receive a great weapon that he'll not be able to do anything against it, because they will receive a certain knowledge when the church will understand and comprehend what is being spoken there. That's it. He lost it all. Why? Because the Songs of Solomon, it is clearly God shows Jesus' heart as a bridegroom, and you read and you find out that there's this crazy love for you that you cannot not love him, you cannot not dedicate yourself to him, you cannot just leave everything and not love him. You know, this is what the devil fears. And also the book of Revelation. Revelation opens up another side of the bride. Over there, in that book, the bride is an overcomer, victorious. Not just intimate relationship with God, but also an overcomer, because at the end, she is together with Jesus. She will be victorious over this world, the devil, all the demons. The war will be over and they will be in the kingdom together. And the devil tries with everything that he can, he'll let you read whatever, but these two books, he just covers them so people are afraid of them. And today we will go into it, and I'm happy that the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to us, because I believe that he is preparing us for the last times, and he's raising up this special generation. But to be ready for this last times, you have to get knowledge of who you are and what you have and who is your bridegroom, who is your God, who are you? So, today we will share about the book of Revelation, second and third book of Revelation. If you remember, over there, Jesus, he gives a word to the seven churches, and over there he gives them praise and also rebukes them and also gives them promises. What price will that church have? So today's message is called Overcomer Inherits All. I believe we're that generation that is an overcomer. We're tired of being depressed and some sort of misunderstood things, always in these different things. I believe that we're going to a season where we will know that we are overcomers. You'll understand why you're going through hard times, through problems, through betrayal or financial issues. You'll understand. And you'll see what you will inherit at the end and will stimulate you to move forward. I, you know, as long as I preach, I always go into this subject because it's something that bothers me, because I'm tired of weak churches. I'm tired that the devil does whatever he wants and there aren't any people that are dedicated, the ones that are sold out, that will come and say, no, it's time for Jesus to come to reign on this. I know when Jesus will come second time, the bride will be ready and he will take his bride. Everything that will change is our physical bodies will transform, but the spirit, it will be the same as Jesus. Your understanding, your thoughts, the way you speak, it will be like Jesus. And so when he will come after his counterpart. And so two shall become one. You know when people get married? And this is what will happen with the church. It will be something that has been transformed into him. Only our physical bodies will change. But our very being will be Jesus. That's when church will be ready. This is when we will transform and we'll go with him. So I know that God is preparing us for that, and we are heading in that direction. We're far from it. I'll say we're still in the embryonic stages, but the Lord is transforming us, and this knowledge in the last days is being magnified. The time is running out. The time is ticking by, and God wants us for us to comprehend all these things as quick as we can. So today we'll go into the book of Revelation, and I believe that you will receive very important information that will help you to really get to know you and take another step closer to that church that you and me have to be. So we'll read a lot from the scripture. Those of you that love to read, don't love to read the Bible, I feel sorry for you. So you all remember where all these things were happening. Apostle John, he was the youngest of the apostles. He was sent out into exile into an island, and he sees a vision. He gets a visitation, and Jesus is telling him what's going to happen in the last days. Those of you that read it, you remember that Jesus is telling him, to the overcomer, I shall eat, let him eat from the sacred manna. Or overcomer, I will do this. I'll give you a new rock. What is he going to do? Give us a new rock? What does it mean? He says all these different things to overcomers, and I always thought there's something spiritual, something is going to happen in heaven when we'll come there. Apparently, the Holy Spirit said, no. You don't need to wait till you get to heaven. You will walk in this in the last days. This is what the church of the end times will walk in. And in these two chapters, it is spoken about seven churches here. God is speaking to every church, and he shows them their powerful side and also their weakness. And then he says, if you will fix these weak things that you're battling, this is the reward that is waiting for you. I know there are a lot of many different messages and teachings on this, that every church that Jesus is talking to here has to do with different eras of churches. You know, first church was the apostolic church, and on and on and on. You know what? The Bible is so deep, such a deep thing. You can't just comprehend one scripture only one way, like a one-sided translation. You can receive so many different revelations from verses and over from many different sides. You can see from many different sides. It's so multifaceted. And this is what I want to do today. I want to come up to this particular verse, how I saw it, how the Holy Spirit revealed to me seven categories of Christianity. These seven churches are seven categories of Christianity. And today, when we will talk about this, you will find yourself in one of these categories, and you'll understand, this is me. I have to change. If I will change, this is what is awaiting for me. Are you ready? So buckle up. We will go.
Okay.
So we will start with chapter 2. I'm not going to read the first chapter. It's about Jesus coming and showing himself to John, and John fell, and in the glory he couldn't withstand the power, and Jesus starts telling him. And so we will start with the first church, chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel messenger of the assembly church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches, in his right hand, who goes about among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. So what was this church? Christ. First of all, the word Ephes, the root of this word means to let go, to relax, to let go. This is what it means. I'll tell you why. And then later on he says, I know your industry and your activities, laborers, toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. You see, when Jesus rebukes, for instance, he always tells you, first of all, your positive things, that he, what things he loves in you. But with us, with people, we usually just go against him, bring him down, and then remember, oh, I didn't say a single good thing, but how Jesus does it, he will lift you up, he encourages you, and then he says, but I have certain things that you should change in you. And then Jesus tells him, he showed them why he loves this church. And truly, this church was, these people were hard workers, people that love to work and labor. They were full of endurance. They were pulling all the ministries that they could and services. But and then Jesus tells them that you do not tolerate wicked men. And then you have the spirit of discernment. They could discern if people had unclean motives or they were liars. They would rebuke these people. And this is what Jesus loved in this church and these people, these categories of Christians. And he says, you have patience and endurance. You were not tired or faint. For many, many years, they were probably doing something. They didn't see much fruit, but they still continued. Jesus said, I love that about you. But verse 4, but I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you at first had. Remember that from what heights you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did previously when you first knew the Lord, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent. These are the people that said that they've been so sucked into the ministry that they forgot the most important thing. They forgot to spend time with Him. Any of you recognize yourself in this? We like to take so many different things upon ourselves, and we barely have any time for God. And God said, I don't need your ministries. I don't need your things that you're doing or what you're doing. He says, if you have no connection with me, if you don't spend time with me, all these ministries and services are just empty things. You think you are collecting something in heaven, but what really you're doing is you're losing more things. Jesus says, I want you, I want to have communion with you. Just take off everything that distracts you. Your ministry can become an idol. It feels like I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. But did God ask you to do this? If this is taking your time from having communion with Him, if you don't have enough time to spend with Him, this is your idol. Your ministry can be your idol. Jesus said, if you will not fix this, I will move your lampstand. Lampstand symbolizes your ministry. It says, I will destroy your ministry. I will shut it down, and I'll find a person that will walk in the love with me, and we'll do things from the, you know, the prayer closet, and whatever he receives there will bring it out. If you see yourself in this category, think about it. If you've taken so many different things upon yourself that you lack time, leave some things, leave one ministry or one thing that you're doing, just live in the love of God. Because Jesus clearly said, I will move your lampstand. I will shut it all down. I'll find a person that will walk in love with me. Verse 7, he says, he who is able to hear, let him listen and give heed to what the Spirit says to the assembly, churches. To him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I'm thinking probably when we will come to heaven, there will be some sort of awesome tree, the tree of life. And those that will be obedient, they'll eat. Everybody else will look from the side. Apparently, no. This will happen here on earth. This is the church that will balance these things in herself, the ministry and the relationship with God. This tree is in the garden. Garden always represents His glory, His presence. Remember Adam and Eve when they were in the garden? They were walking in the presence of God over there. They were face to face with God. And Jesus said, in the last days, this church will have an opportunity on earth to talk with me face to face like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. I will personally tell them revelations. I will personally share with them information. I will fill them. They will eat from me. And it's not just going to change them. It will change everything around them. This is what Jesus promised. Trees from the tree of life. Of course, I believe that this tree of life does exist in heaven. We will eat off of it and we'll receive healing and revelations, but it's also available on earth. You clearly walk in contact with Him where you see Him face to face. You have a real encounter with Him and you have an experience. It's a deeper level. Let's move on. Second thing. Second church. I also believe that in this garden, God will restore the things that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. This, what did they lose? They lost the ability to see God face to face. Their spiritual eyes were shut. And when we come back into this garden, He says, I will open up your spiritual eyes. You will see me. I believe that this generation will see God. They will see God like Moses saw,
like Adam and Eve saw.
And He says, I will bless you. You will eat off this tree and your eyes will open you. You will see me, I believe, physically or spiritually, whatever. Who wants to see Jesus here? Face to face. I always pray every day. I say, Lord, when? I know that the Lord promised, and it will happen. He will live amongst us. He will have communion with us because He promised that. Second, church, verse 8. And to the angel messenger of the assembly church in Smyrna, write,
these are the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your affliction and distress and pressing trouble and your poverty, but you are rich. And how you are abused and reviled and slandered by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
So, the Church of Smyrna. Smyrna is translated, the root of that word is perfume, pleasant smell. This is what they used to balm, when they use it as a balm on the dead. They were anointing them with this oil. It was pleasant smells. And there's also an example here of this church. That church lived in that area where they were persecuted and people physically were dying for the Lord. They were martyred. And so Jesus says, yes, I know your affliction and distress. I know your trouble and poverty. Sometimes we say, Lord, when is financial breakthrough will come? When will financial breakthrough will come? We pray. There is no breakthrough. And you think that I've done it myself. I cast out all demons and the devil. I've bound all the curses. And it doesn't work. And here the Lord clearly says, I've allowed this. I know about it. I am aware of it. But I want you to go through this because through this, your flesh dies. Through this, for some people, their desires die. The unclean desires, desire for power. Because a lot of people, their hearts become rotten for money. And he says, I know about your afflictions and your troubles. And you know what? I want to tell you that we live in the last time, last days. And that clearly that the devil is ruthless and he is magnifying his attacks. And we know here and there that in our times, there's persecution of Christians in our days in different countries. They are persecuted, they're martyred. They're imprisoned in other, especially Muslim countries. And I know that in the last days they will magnify because the devil will try to destroy Christians. There will be persecution, no, but I will tell you this one thing. I know there are two camps. One say, usually it's religion, it scares us. We're going to get persecuted, we're going to get killed, we're going to get martyred, we're going to go to prison, we'll be tortured. And people are so afraid and scared. The other camp says this thing, charismatic, no. Nothing's going to happen to us. We have protection over us. We will destroy everything. We will bind everything. Nothing will happen to us. I'll tell you this. Both of these categories are wrong. Why? Because there will be everything. Yes, there will be everything happening, but at the same time, God chose some people to begin with to be martyred for Him. They have been chosen before. And majority of these people, they know about it. For some, God told it. They've known about it. They have received that revelation, so He will prepare that. I was sitting one time and thinking, Lord, what if I will be martyred for you? Seriously, I asked myself a question, what if they're going to torture me? Will I handle it? How am I going to behave? I was bothered by that question, but and then Holy Spirit started telling me all these different scriptures, said, be at peace, even if that will happen to you, do not worry. Remember Stephen? How he died when they were stoning him. Stephen died with a smile on his face. First of all, he didn't feel this pain. Second of all, his spirit was already with God because he already saw up in heaven. He saw angels. People were just stoning his body, but his spirit was not in there. They didn't understand why he's smiling. And the second thing, if you read history about Christians of the first days, when Christians were thrown into the lions, they were burned at stake, and they were making them torches, live torches. History says that many of these people, they died with smiles on their faces. Why? Nobody could understand. Why are they dying with smiles on their face? And often, there is no spirit in that body. God loves his children so much. Just because that person decided to die for him, to go through this torture, often the Lord takes the spirit away and the fire or the lions are just eating this dead body. And that's why the Lord says, if some of us, we don't know what's going to happen in the last days. If some of us have to be martyred for Christ, the Lord will prepare us. So do not worry. Again, it's only certain chosen ones. It's not for everybody. And Jesus tells them.
Verse 14. Nevertheless.
Jesus tells them, verse 10, fear nothing that you're about to suffer. Behold, the dread and fear will come, but do not fear. Certain things will come, but Jesus says, do not fear. Behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you into prison, and that you may be tested and proven critically appraised, and for 10 days you will have affliction. Be loyal, faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know what? We have decided to go to the end. We didn't say, Lord, I give you my life, but only if I live to 100 years old and I will die peacefully in my bed. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what? Many different anointed men and women who died when they were shot or martyred for Christ. They were martyred for Christ. So we have to have this way of thinking. If we've signed up to be completely sold out to Jesus, we are signing up for everything. Any price that has is with this, any sacrifice. And we don't know how our life will end, but we don't know. No matter how it ends, God is in control. And he will prepare you. He's not just going to let you be out there without any knowledge. He will prepare you, and you will be at peace when you will be doing this. This is what Jesus said, do not fear, trust me. And look, these people, what does Jesus promise them?
He who overcomes, it says 11, shall in no way be injured by the second death.
This is a continue of John's vision. He writes, I saw a throne and people that were on thrones that had power and authority to judge. And I saw spirits, those that have been martyred for Christ. They did not bow down to the image of the beast. They came back to life and they were with Christ for 1,000 years, and the other dead did not come back to life until 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection of the dead. Blessed and happy are those that are in the first resurrection. Second death has no power over them. So, if we will go into a scripture a little higher, it says that he saw these people that are sitting on the throne. And also in the same chapter, he shares how Jesus and these people that were sitting with them on the throne, they were judging the world. It says that the sea gave out its dead, the earth gave out its dead, and everybody was standing and trembling before the Lord. They didn't know how this judgment will end because they couldn't go into heaven. They were in this place of judgment. But the bride, speaking here about the bride that sold everything, and she is ready to go for everything till the end, these are the people that do not come into judgment. They're right there with Jesus. They judge the world.
This is us, guys. Jesus says, do not fear. If you haven't sold yourself out to completely, you're not afraid to die for me. You'll be on the right side of me. You will judge the world. So do not fear that they will persecute you. You have nothing to be persecuted for. You are my bride. And this is what the Lord promises us. Third thing. Verse 12. Then to the angel of the assembly church in Pergamum, write, this is third category, these are the words of him who has and wields a sharp two-edged sword. I know where you live, a place where Satan sit enthroned. You are clinging into and holding fast my name, and you do not deny my faith. Even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed, martyred in your midst, where Satan dwells. So, Pergamum was a city. Pergamum, the Christians that lived in that city, they were surrounded by many demonic temples. There was idol worshiping, many different cults, occult practices were full-blown, and then this church lived amongst that. There was corruption, degradation of the culture. They could see that around them. This is where the witchcraft was practiced, because Jesus clearly says here, you live where Satan sits enthroned. That's demonic powers, and then Christians, they try to live in it. And I know that there are categories of Christians that are surrounded by these demonic pressure, the demonic presence, and they still move forward. They still to keep their faith in God. And Jesus is impressed by that. He is clearly touched by it, but clearly he still says, if we read verse 14, he says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have some people, they are who cling to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to set a trap and a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to entice them to eat food that has been sacrificed to idols and to practice lewdness, giving themselves up to sexual vice. You also have some who in a similar way are clinging to the teachings of Nicolaitans, those corruptors of the people, which things I hate. What does it say? It says, repent or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. They lose, these people, these churches, they lose their standards, they mix with the culture of this world, the culture of the heathens, and they get polluted and mixed, and they're mingling. This is basically what we see in Christians today. If they're, yeah, it's church, but you go into sites that you shouldn't be visiting, you see movies that you shouldn't be watching lately, go to those places that you shouldn't be, and it's like we try to be here a little bit and a little bit over there. And God says, repent, because I will come. I will judge that. You know, Pergamum, the way it means, that the root of the word, it means Rome. Gamos means marriage. The Lord says, you have betrayed me and married this culture, this perverted culture. You traded me onto that perverted culture. And God is wounded in his heart here with this. And you didn't repent of me, you believe in me, but at the same time, you are fed off this. Remember our last message where Pastor was sharing about the DNA? You are polluting your fountain, your source, your DNA with this demonic culture, wrong information, and it says, be careful. Have standards, principles that you shall not overstep, for you to be my pure vessel so I can move through you, because these people, they will not last long. They will be out pretty soon. So what does Jesus say? He says, if you will separate yourself, verse 17, he who is able to hear, let him listen and heal, that the Spirit says. To him who overcomes, conquer, I will give him to eat the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. I'm thinking, what manna? Bread? We'll eat bread? What is this? Apparently, remember Jesus says, I am manna, I am bread. When we take up communion, what do? We take, this is an image of Jesus. It says, I will give you sacred manna. If you will, you know, separate yourself, consecrate yourself, you will be my consecrated ones. You will separate yourself from this world. So you will have such a relationship with me, such intimate, close relationship with me, that I will give you such secrets, such hidden mysteries that no one else knows. People will look at you and say, how do you know this? How? Where do you get this information? And you're saying, you know what? I keep myself pure. Jesus reveals to me such things, and they just flow out of me. And this is where the church of the last days will walk in purity and holiness, because this is what God is calling us to be. He wants us to move through us completely. He wants to release powerful things, things that you have not seen or heard, but not read about. We can only do that by being completely dedicated and separated wholly unto the Lord. And he says, I will do these things through you. Later on, he says, I will give you a white stone engraved with a new name, which no one knows or understands. If you go into the history, of the ancient Israel, where this white rock came from. For instance, a person was blamed into something. For instance, he stole something, and the judge would come out. Right now, the judge has a gavel, and he says, guilty or innocent, and things like that. Before that, they didn't have those gavels. The judge had two rocks, a black one and a white one. If the person was guilty, he would take out a black stone. That means that the person is judged guilty. If the judge would take out the white stone, and that this person has been found innocent, they let him go. And this is what Jesus says, I will give you a white stone. It says, it doesn't matter what happened in your past. It doesn't matter how many mistakes and sins you've committed and what dirt you were in. It says, I give you this white rock, this stone. That means that there's no past. I give you a new name. If you were an alcoholic or the worst prostitute ever, you know, people have this in their memory and they remember you as that. But Jesus says, with me, it's not like that. I give you a new name. I give you a name, for instance, revival. And no matter where you go, yes, doesn't matter how your past was, but wherever you're going right now, people will be revived. They will be changed. They will be set on fire. This is a new name that I give you, this white stone with a new name that no one knows. And you'll only find out when you will enter into your destiny, when you will clearly really encounter him, and he'll tell you who you are, how you're moving, how he's going to use you for his kingdom. That will be your name. And when you will walk, this will be poured out of you. This is what Jesus was saying here. This is why I know the church of the last days will finally get to know who she is. Every one of us will get such a relationship with him when the Lord says who you are and your role in his kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're a prayer warrior or evangelist, or you go and set cities on fire, or you just simply sit one-on-one and minister to people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how your past was, because we know often because of the past, people cannot move. People sit in their old things, and you know, their past reminds them, and they sit, and they believe these lies. So Jesus says, forget about the past. I give you a new rock, a new stone. The old does not exist. And you will walk into your full destiny, I want to use you fully and completely. Remember how Jesus said, that the sinners, they go into the kingdom of God first. Remember, he said that. It doesn't matter what your past was. Just encounter him. Start living with him, and you'll find out who you really are, that you're not just born to sit somewhere in the back row and just listen to messages all your life. You have a special role, you have a special name that no one knows at the moment, but as soon as you will encounter him, you'll start living out of your name. This is what he's saying here. Fourth thing. Am I speaking too fast? Are you guys okay? You're following? Okay. Chapter 2:18, fourth church. And to the angel of the assembly church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire, and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white hot bronze. I know your record and what you are doing, your love and faith and servants and patience and endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. another church, very wonderful church. People really loved each other. They ministered to each other. People had patience for each other. You know what we lack sometimes in our church is that people get irritated with each other way too quickly. And these people had patience. They went through certain things, and they had patience, and they persevered. And the Lord was touched by that. And they were growing in what they lived, and their fruit of their ministry was growing. But Jesus says, I have this against you. Again,
look, I say, you will see yourself in some sort of category.
This I have against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. I give her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality and refuses to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who are committing adultery with her paramours, I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent as their doings. I will strike her children, her proper followers, dead, thoroughly exterminating them. And all the assembly churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds and thoughts, feelings and purposes and the innermost hearts, and I will give to each of you. I'll stop here. Everything was wonderful in the church. They had love. They had faith. They had fruit. They were working. This was a live church, progressive church. But they tolerated the woman of Jezebel in our church. Let's touch down on Jezebel. Who is she? We hear about the spirit of Jezebel, 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 and we often think it's women. And I'll tell you this. Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, could be on a man as well as on a woman. And where, how do we see the spirit of Jezebel? How would you discern it? It's the spirit that manipulates people. It's a spirit that finds weak people. It gets their trust, wins their trust, so that spirit can manipulate them. These are people that, you know, have friendships, just looking for their own way. This is why they build friendships for their own purposes, and they manipulate with their position. Other people, and these people, they try to get acceptance through false humility. They're always so humble. They're always going through something. Again, just to get to win people and to manipulate them through that. This is the spirit that hungers power and authority, tries to get to authority any way possible. When these people are corrected in any way and says, listen, you're doing this wrong, this is not right, these people usually get this excuse, well, God told me to do this. They always have this, the Holy Spirit told me, God told me, they don't listen to anybody else. These people, they move in a prophetic gift often, but their prophecies often come out of their soul realm, not out of the spirit realm, not from the spirit, but from the soul. And often they say such things to people, the things that people want to hear, but not clearly what the Lord is saying. Because, again, this is how they try to attract people to themselves and get influence that way. It's the spirit hungers for authority and influence and power. And this is what Jesus said to these Christians. I love what you're doing. Wonderful. But in your church, you have this spirit. There are people that clearly walk in this spirit, and you're not doing anything against this. And God himself, he hates the spirit. His whole being, his very being is resisting the spirit. If you read the scripture here, the words, you'll hear his heart, how he is against this. And he says, if you will not, you know, repent or not cast her out of your presence, you will receive the same thing that these people that are of the same spirit. For instance, you say, I'm not doing what that person is doing, so what if he's there? He's not really does anything. What do I have to do anything? I love God, I love people, but God says, no. He says here, I am ready to throw her onto a bed of anguish and those who commit adultery with her, her paramours, they're with her if they will not repent unless they turn away. So people that walk with these people that are in the spirit of Jezebel, they will have the same judgment that the spirit who has the spirit, the person has the spirit of Jezebel on them. So you have to be very careful, no matter how we don't want to, you know, damage some people or speak certain, you know, not so pleasant things to some people, but we have to rebuke them because of that, a lot of, if we don't, a lot of people will be in judgment, and the whole church can be in the judgment of the Lord, because there's this individual, and we know those individuals, and we cover it and protect it. I know that Church of the Last Days will rebuke, it will give chances to repent, and if no one wants to repent, the chance has been given, but there's no repentance, that these people have to be cast out. Verse 26, Jesus says, "And he who overcomes, if you will fix this, if you will take care of this, to the one who is victorious and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a scepter rod of iron, and as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father." So these people stay away from positions, and this is who Jesus takes out and says, "I want you, because you know what? You clearly have clean motives. I want to use you, I want you to be over here onto this position, so that everybody can see that my spirit is upon you, my authority and power is upon you." Because remember, Jesus preaching on the mountain, he said that the humble shall have the earth. They will have lordship of the earth. So you're sitting there quietly. You may not be known by many. You're just doing your thing. You're not waiting for praise, for acceptance. You're just doing your thing. And the Lord says, "These are the ones that I'm going to pull out, and I will place you in such position that everybody will find out who you are, that you are my son, you're my daughter, and they will know you." You'll become popular, either want it or not, but it's going to happen. This is the principle of God. And here the Lord says, "I will give you power over the world." What is iron here? Iron rod. It's the spirit of truth. The metal itself, it means spirit of truth and knowledge from above. So the Lord will give you true knowledge from heaven. It will come to you. And through these knowledges, and these people will be attracted, because people want knowledge. They want things that no one knows. They always want something new that has not been heard before. And the Lord will release that. Only because you've humbled yourself, you've broken your heart, and you're not searching for positions. This is who the Lord will place into a position, that people will know you. And what are these earthen pots that will be broken in pieces? It's people that are attached to the earthly dreams. They live in their earthly desires. This is their priority. God says, "I will turn it all around." Those that are chasing after their own, you know, desires, the people that live for themselves, they are prospering. And the Lord says, "I will turn everything around. I'll put my faithful servants, and they will have authority over finances, over different areas." And I believe that corporately, the church will have all the finances, because in the last days, people will go into the church to receive God, to receive help, because in economics in the world, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to degrade and go down and down. And what we're going right now, that we're paying the price, the Lord is maybe cutting off certain things that we love, or people, or finances. We're going through paying a process of paying of a price. The time will come when all of this will come back into the church. People that will, for instance, they're flourishing at the moment. They don't care about God, but God says, "I will turn it all around. I will give it all to the church." These people have power and authority. People will come and search for God and for help from these people that God says, "I will place in authority." So we have to go through what we're going, this problems and things, all these different problems, because something big is going to happen, and it's going to come. And later on, he says, the Lord says, "I will give him the morning star." Verse 28. I was thinking, what is the morning star? What is the morning star? And then the Holy Spirit reminded me that, remember the name, one of the names of Satan, Lucifer's name, one of his names was morning star. I remember prophet Isaiah says that you fell like the morning star. And Jesus also calls himself the morning star. The meaning of this word is the one that shines, the one the light shines upon. Before Lucifer fell from heaven, this is what he walked in. He walked in the light. He was shining. He was brilliant. He was shining, and Jesus walks in the same light. Everyone who saw Jesus or ever encountered him, the first thing that they see is this great light that is in him. And this was taken away from Lucifer and will be given into the bride. This is what it means, the morning star. This shining, radiating light physically. It's not just in heaven. It's also, I know it, like Moses, when he came down from the mountain, people couldn't physically look at him because he was shining. They covered his face. I believe we will walk in this, what God is asking of us, what He asks us to give. If we will be obedient, we will walk in it. We will shine. For some, it might be something so sci-fi. But I believe that we will physically walk in the shiny light, just like in physical fire. Like when disciples had physical fire over their heads, it was physical things manifesting in the physical realm. It's not just fairy tales. I am waiting for this time every day. I say, Lord, faster. Pastor. So, let's move on to chapter 3. Fifth church. We're coming to an end here. Verse 1. And to the angel of the assembly church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. Next church is the church of Sardis. I know your record and what you are doing, and you are supposed to be alive, but in reality you are dead. Rouse yourself and keep awake and strengthen and invigorate what remains, and it is on the point of dying. Look. Jesus, he doesn't pick his words. He says, if you're dead, you're dead. He's going to say you're dead. We try to pick words and try to kind of soften the blow. But, you know, you're kind of alive, but not really. No, you're dead. And how I see this as category of Christians, that churches, they think that they're alive. They think that everything is good, they worship and youth, and everything is wonderful, everything is beautiful, everything is so proper. And these are the churches, they turn into clubs. And they think that they have God, but God is not there. It's just a beautiful form and nothing else. He says, you think you're alive. You think that with your beauty, you try to impress someone. You think that, you know what? God says, I'm no longer there. I haven't been there for a while. You're so blinded by your beauty that you didn't even put any effort to get down on your knees and ask, Lord, what is really happening right now? For real, open my eyes. Show me. What do you see? What do you hear? Let me hear what this generation is crying out for. What this generation is crying out for. We have, you know, pink colored glasses. We think it's so great. We evangelize conferences. We're filled. But there are thousands and thousands that are dying. And there's no one that will want to roll down their sleeves, stick their hands into the mud, and start pulling people out. Nobody wants to do that because it's hard. And Jesus is speaking against this category. Where people says, you think you're alive, you're a club. You're just entertaining each other. And my children are dying in the meantime, and no one wants to give their lives to save them. And he said, but they have a chance. He says, rouse yourself and keep awake and strengthen yourself. I have not found a thing that you have done, any work of yours meeting the requirements of my God or perfect in his sight. So call to mind the lessons you received and heard. These churches have a chance. Continually lay them to heart and obey them and repent. In case you will not rouse yourself and keep awake and watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know or suspect of what hour I will come. Yet you still have a few persons, even they have a chance here. There are some people that did not go with what is happening at that place. He says, yet you still have a few persons named in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes, and they shall walk with me in white because they are worthy and deserving. God will find these hungry ones. They will be in different churches, in different confessions, and God sees that there are some that are on fire. There's a light, and he takes that person, and they come together, and they unite. And this is how God takes out that remnant, and he finds them and puts them together, and this is the church at the end that will be ready to welcome Jesus. And God said, those who overcome be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels. And he was able to hear, let him listen and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. So they will be dressed in bright white clothing. White clothing means purity. It's
people that are pure, that walk in the light, and walk in my light. These are the hungry, the thirsty ones that are ready to open up their ears, open up their eyes, and we'll find out what this generation is crying out for. You will walk with me here on this earth in white clothing. The whole spiritual realm will know that this is my son, this is my daughter. No one will have power to resist these people, because in the spiritual realm, yes, in the physical realm you might be one thing, but the spiritual realm will know that Jesus himself is walking with you, walking together. There's no power that can resist you. This is what Jesus is promising here. Seventh verse, sixth category. And to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia. All right, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One. He who has the key of David, who opens and no one can shut, and who shuts, no one shall open. I know your records of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before your door wide open, and no one is able to shut it. I know you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message, and have not renounced or denied my name. Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you. Philadelphia, the word of this word is brotherly love. It's clearly those categories of Christians. By the way, I want to speak to our churches that are in Russia, Ukraine, or the other countries of the Europe and the world. When I was preparing this message, I saw them before my eyes, and I feel like I have to release this unto them. This category of people that came out from old churches, they came out from religion, and there's some sort of remnant left. And I know that a lot of things and attacks are going against them, and like Jesus said, like with this Church of Philadelphia, yes, there might not be a lot of you. You don't have a lot of power or strength. There's not a lot of you, the quantity. But the Lord says, he sees this, he knows this. And those that persecute you, I know the old churches try to persecute you, they try to speak against you, badmouth you, try to do everything to destroy you. But I want to tell you this, hold on, because Jesus himself promises that these people will come and they will bow down before you. And your doors that are God opened, no one will shut, and they will be influenced. You, through these doors, you will reach out to your nations, even if you there's not a lot of you. Maybe there's just a small remnant. And these people that destroy you at the moment, these leaders that are trying to just erase you from the face of the earth, the Lord will shame them, and they will come down and bow down before you, and they will acknowledge that God is with you, even if there's not a lot of you. If there's no place to go, just be with us. Be with us together in the same spirit, and you'll see what the Lord will do with you. It'll be a sign and a wonder. I feel like that this message is for them.
He says, because you have guarded and kept my word of patience and endurance, have held fast to the lessons of my patience and expect an endurance that I give you. I will also keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming to the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. You know what? The Lord will release judgments onto the earth. Yes, but you read what has been promised amongst all of this. I will keep you. It will not touch you. I will keep you safe in the hour. It says here, if you're sons or daughter of God, if you have a relationship with him, it will not touch us. It will be released onto the world. So sleep, be at peace, be peaceful. In the verse 11, Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. He who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. I'm thinking, pillar? What are we going to stand like? Pillars there in heaven? What is going to happen in the throne room?
Oh.
If you remember Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, remember in the desert, there were presence of God. How was it manifested? It was a pillar of cloud in the daylight. It was a pillar of cloud, and in the night it was a pillar of fire. He says, you will be in my temple. By being here on this earth, you will be in my presence of God. It will be visible in your life. People will see it on earth. Presence of God will be visible. This pillar means his presence. You will be with me. And everyone will see it, and those that are speaking are going against you, the ones that are bringing you down, are persecuting you. They will have to see it and acknowledge it and accept it. Repent, or God will shame them and they will come before your feet. So, if someone's speaking against you or going against you, just hold on. Persevere, because time will come and the Lord will show who is who and what is what. And He's promised, you will be a pillar in my sanctuary, and the name of my God will be upon you, the city of the New Jerusalem. You don't have to prove anything. I'm anointed. I preach so wonderfully. I have powerful prayers. I'm so powerful. People will not see this upon you. They will, people will see it themselves. You don't have to, tell them about yourself. They will see it. People will chase you and pursue you because they will see this presence of God on your life. You're His pillar. You're in His presence. You're His holy of holies. So He entrusts unto you other things that He can't trust anybody else. He reveals to you such things that He does not reveal to anybody else. His presence is with you 24/7, all the time. This is what He's promising. The seventh church, the last church. Last is the church of Laodicea.
Chapter 3:14. Write this to the angel to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God, has made, says this: I know that you do what you do, that you are not hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor warm, cold, I am ready to speak out of my mouth. You say I'm rich and I have become wealthy and I do not need anything, but you do not know that you are really miserable, painful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold made pure in fire, so you can be truly rich. That is the church. What is Laodicea? That was a rich city. And people were very rich there. And of course, when we have everything, we have everything to pay for, we have everything. We have nothing to resist. Everything is covered. Everything is there. You feel like a king. You feel like you are the owner of your life. Everyone owns you, but you don't own to anyone. And you look at everyone from a hill.
Because you have
everything, and some people don't have as much as you do, and those kind of people have ruined their hearts by their riches. And when they had a church, they were doing something, but God said that riches, they took over you, that you became blind. You became deaf. You don't hear what I say. You don't see what I show you. You don't try to see. You just live and enjoy this life. That is why God said, you either live there, be there, be cold, don't play church, or be real with me. I know that there are people who are rich and they serve God, but they live by the riches. It's not their main point. We see those people and wow, look at the cars that they drive, look at the planes they fly,
and
we look at them and think, oh man, and they look at you from the above, but God has it in the reverse. Everything that we serve here, everything that we believe is the richest here, God considers it as poor and naked. You can be very poor here down on earth, live from food stamps, but in the Holy Spirit, in the heavenly spirit, you will be walking in authority. You will be rich in the Spirit. And this life will pass by in a blink of an eye. And then God will come. And what will you come with? What will you show God? What will your gold bring you? The gold that you were holding on to, the riches that you were holding on to, what will they give you when you go up there?
These people are so great, they're
very poor, but God sees them as very rich.
Победившему я дарую право воссесть со мной на моем престоле, как и сам я победил и воссел с отцом моим на его престоле. То есть он говорит, если ты решил отказаться и проходить через вот эти вот ломки, через потери, через предательство, ты сидишь там, ты моя невеста. Только невеста способна идти до конца. Только невеста способна отказаться от всего, и даже если Бог по какой-то причине что-то забирает, она не упирается, она не жалуется, она не говорит, Господь, за что, она просто отпускает, Господь. Если ты считаешь, что так нужно, я согласен и готов. И просто это настолько двигает сердцем Бога, сказать, это моя, это моя, потому что она не живет для себя, она не живет для этого мира, она живет для меня. И я просто надеюсь, что вы где-то себя увидели и видели. Я знаю, что Бог будет балансировать вещи вообще в церкви повсеместно. И с каждым днем мы будем приближаться и приближаться к Его славе, приближаться к Его присутствии, мы будем входить в свою полноту, будем становиться больше, как Он. И вот здесь, как вот эти две-три главы, они как пособие, как бы сказать, чтобы которые помогут вам именно войти в статус этой церкви, победительницы, и находить в полной победе. Я говорю, Господь, интересно, почему Господь, Ты вот именно семи церквям написал? Ну, почему не пяти, там, не десяти, не одиннадцати? А семь, да, духовное значение слова, цифры семь, это духовная полнота, совершенство. То есть здесь, как бы Иисус покрыл все сферы, которые нужно покрыть, вот в этих всех нюансах, все сферы покрыты. И ты всегда можешь сюда идти и проверять себя, где я отклонился, где я, может, там сильно заработался в служении, или я, может, теплым стал, или я, может, живу в компромиссе, знаю, что есть, живет грех, и я молчу, и я закрываю глаза, я ничего не делаю насчет этого. То есть это как учебное пособие для церкви последнего времени. Как войти именно в полноту, ходить в Его славе, в видимой славе, в Его огне, и соблюдая это мы будем там. Чем быстрее мы это будем делать, чем быстрее мы будем послушными, тем быстрее мы войдем, и мы увидим Его славу, и мы увидим Его огонь. Я просто жду это время, я знаю, что это время близко, это от нас зависит, как быстрее мы туда придем. Давайте поднимемся. И я просто не знаю, я читаю, у меня аж как бы, я когда готовилась, у меня аж что-то дрожало там все. Говорю, Господь, неужели мы наконец-то когда-то это все увидим? То, что ты здесь, неужели наконец-то когда-то? Так надоело жить в этих, постоянно в этих, знаете, соплях, постоянно в луже. Хочется уже настоящего, хочется уже увидеть реально небо на земле. Хочется видеть нас такими, как именно как Иисус, именно чтобы через твои глаза именно смотрели Его глаза, чтобы огонь выходил из твоих глаз. Огонь выходил из твоего рта, когда ты говоришь. Ты идешь, и на тебе свет. И люди не понимают, что это за свет, что это за присутствие такое. Потому что ни одни, я знаю, никакие колдуны, никакие сатанисты, они не смогут подделать это. Это только то, в чем будет ходить невеста. Это невеста, которая избрана для последнего времени. Но для этого полная отдача, полное посвящение. Даже если ты не знаешь, живой ты останешься завтра или не живой. Будут у тебя деньги на аккаунте или не будет. Будешь ты один или будут у тебя друзья, неважно. Мы подписываемся. Мы подписываемся на все. Если мы отдаем на все, без всяких оговорок, без всяких «но» или «если». Поэтому, Господь, я верю, Иисус, Ты уже поднимаешь этих людей. Ты уже поднимаешь ее, Господь. Эти люди уже рождены, Отец. И я знаю, с каждым днем мы ближе и ближе и ближе и ближе, Господь. Ближе, Отец. Ближе к тому, кем мы должны быть. Ближе к тому, Господь. Ближе к этому совершенству, Господь. Ближе к тому времени, когда Ты будешь жить в нас, Господь. Когда Ты полностью завладеешь нашим сердцем, нашими мыслями, нашими желаниями, Господь. Мы жаждем этого. Мы хотим, Господь. Мы готовы отдать, Господь, все, что мы должны отдать. Мы хотим отдать и пожертвовать, Отец. Подними, Господь. Подними эту церковь. Подними, Отец. Полное посвящение, Отец. Полное посвящение, Господь. Полная отдача, другого пути нет, другого пути нет. Больше нету серого, есть или черное, есть или белое, или да, или нет. Теплого больше не может быть, или ты горячий, или ты холодный, или ты в мире, или ты с Богом. Больше нету времени для компромисса, потому что идет, Иисус идет, Иисус идет, Иисус идет, и церковь поднимается. Вступает в свои права. Она заявит о себе в этом мире. На ней будет видимое присутствие. Господь, мы верим, это время пришло, 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 Господь, это время пришло, это время пришло, даже если нас мало, даже если нас не понимают, нам все равно, Господь, нам все равно, Иисус, нам все равно, Господь. Это время пришло, Господь. Пришло время проявиться сынам. Пришло время проявиться сынам и дочерям Бога. Пришло время, 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 пришло время подняться, проснуться. Я чувствую, что Дух Святой, Он кричит, что пришло время. Нет времени ждать, нет времени тянуть, нет времени тянуть, потому что больше не будет времени меняться. Больше не будет времени меняться. Ты делаешь свой выбор сейчас, сегодня, завтра его может быть не будет. Настолько просто все насыщено, его атмосфера настолько электризована. Он идет, и время церкви проявится. Если ты не делаешь свой выбор сегодня, завтра может быть поздно. Сегодня, 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 делай выбор сегодня, посвятись сегодня, продайся 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 сегодня, сегодня, больше нет завтра, сегодня, завладей нами, Отец, завладей нами, Иисус, завладей нами. Спасибо, Иисус. Спасибо, Отец. Спасибо за новое время. Спасибо за новые знания. Спасибо за новое время. Самый большой обман дьявола в том, что он обманывает людей, еще есть время. Ну, через месяц, ну, я начну с понедельника. Ну, я начну тогда. Нет, это время никогда не приходит. Или сейчас, или никогда. Завтра нету. Завтра нету. Перестань обманываться. Или ты сегодня полностью продаешься ему, или ты останешься за. Ты останешься снаружи. И когда Бог будет изливать свою славу, когда Бог будет двигаться, и когда его дети начнут двигаться в его славе, ты будешь локти кусать. Ты будешь, почему я раньше не сделал свой выбор? Почему я не сделал свой выбор раньше? Многие люди захотят быть в этом огне. Многие люди захотят быть в этом движении, но уже не будет времени. Сейчас ты вкладываешь то, в чем ты будешь ходить. Сейчас. Сейчас. И это время намного ближе, чем вы думаете. Намного ближе. Потому что Иисус, Дух Святой, Он открывает своей невесте сроки. Он открывает своей невесте сезоны. Да, мы не знаем уже точного дня, мы не знаем точно недель, но мы знаем сезоны. И те, кто близко с Духом Святым, ходят, вы знаете, что этот уже сезон, он здесь. Он здесь. Или ты сейчас с ним, или ты останешься снаружи, и будешь просто наблюдателем, и будешь спасенным головня из огня. Поэтому не обманывайся, времени больше нет. Спасибо, Отец. Спасибо. спасибо за посвященных. Спасибо, которые сделали выбор. Да, может, нас немного, Господь. Да, мы, может, смотримся странно, непонятно для всех, Господь. Но когда Ты придешь, Господь, на эти странные, непонятные, Господь, полностью проданные Тебе, Отец, именно им Ты доверишь, Господь, власть, именно им Ты доверишь свою силу, именно они будут влиять на нации, именно через них будет высвобождаться Твой огонь и слава в разные страны, в разные нации. Спасибо Тебе, Господь. Спасибо за Твоих верных, которые согласились идти до конца. Мы готовы меняться, Господь. Мы готовы балансировать нашу жизнь, Отец. Потому что мы хотим войти туда, Отец. И все, что Ты говоришь, Отец, это важно для нас. Все, что Ты говоришь, Иисус, это очень важно для нас.